It was Jesus Christ who said to us, "The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few." He also said that when you are filled with His power, you will be His witnesses. And then He said, "You are the light of the world." If there was ever a time that a witness for Christ need to be present, it is now. If there was ever a time we need to have the light in dark places, it is now. If it ever was a time that we need to be laborers in the harvest field, it is now. I am bringing you a series of messages called Seeking the Lost and Mobilizing to Evangelize. God wants to use your voice. He wants to use your personality to reach the people around you. Why don't you pray right now and ask God to just awaken the desire in your heart to be His witness, His light, and His laborer. Well, come and go with us now as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
See, along with the commission comes the compassion. And that compassion motivates us to reach out and motivates us to touch others. I have a compassion. Some people have more compassion for a cat than they do for lost souls. They tell me, "Oh, Pastor, what you going to do with that cat?" They more worried about the cat than they are a lost soul. I say, "That's a cat. This is a place for lost souls." That compassion that we might have causes us to have a concern. If you got compassion, then you have a concern for the lost. It is that concern that will turn a church congregation from being an audience to being an army. Our churches are full of audiences. When the Lord said that we are an army of the Lord, the audience come and they sit and they listen and they go home and they come back again and sit and listen. But an army go out to accomplish a mission and the commission. So we need to be an army instead of an audience. But if you have no compassion, you have no passion, no compassion, you're not going to want to get out there in the battlefield and minister to those who are lost. A concern with compassion causes spectators to be laborers. It was the Lord who said Himself, "The harvest is plenteous, it's ripe, but the laborers are few." And if you don't have a compassion, you will be a spectator instead of a laborer. You'll just come and look and listen. And right before Jesus said that in Matthew about the harvest is being ripe and the laborers are few, you read a couple of verses before that, He says He looked out over the people and they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And He had compassion for them. And He said, "Oh my, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask Him to send forth laborers into my harvest field." The harvest belongs to the Lord. It's His harvest field. He says nothing wrong with the unsaved folks. There's nothing wrong with sinners that sinners don't do. They're sinners. They do what sinners do. Nothing's wrong with them. The only thing wrong is I don't have any saints going out there sharing the word with the sinners. That's His problem. His problem wasn't the sinners. It was the saints that would not be laborers. A concern and a compassion will cause us to initiate intercession. Begin to pray for them. So Christ gave us a commission. And then we have to ask Him for the compassion and concern. But the commission and the compassion and the concern would do us no good if we don't have contact with the lost. We got to make the contact. We have to initiate the conversation. The growth of Christianity and the kingdom of God is scripturally based on personal contact. That's how the people got the word out. How can they hear unless somebody preach to them? Go and share. In fact, when the saints in the early church in the book of Acts got so excited about what God was doing in Jerusalem, remember on the first day, 3,000 people got saved. And you read a little bit later, 5,000 got saved. They start gathering from house to house and they start feeding the widows and they got deacons and everything. When they got comfortable, God sent persecution and scattered them out. This wasn't meant for you all to just start having a big church growth conference. This was meant for you all to share, not only in Jerusalem, but Samaria and the other most parts of the world. So since you're not going out on your own, I'll send some persecution to make you go out. That's when the gospel began to spread, when the saints had to start running. Oh, Lord, don't send persecution to scatter us out now. Let's go voluntarily, because we understand the commission and we have the compassion and the concern. Jesus has always put an emphasis on seeking and saving the lost. All throughout his ministry, when he was doing great signs and wonders and miracles, he never lost sight of the fact of his divine purpose is to seek. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He stated his purpose for his coming. We can see that principle of personal contact that Jesus employed when he first began the ministry. As he went out and began to gather his disciples, he didn't start by standing on the hill and calling out to everybody. He went personally, one-on-one, to begin to gather those disciples so that he can teach them and reach them and train them. In John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35, we see this passage where it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. So we see Andrew going to Simon personally, one-on-one. We found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Then Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And then Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, one-on-one. Hey, I found the Lord. I found the one who is the Messiah. I found the one who Moses talked about. That's all you got to do is tell people, I found Jesus. Tell them, I found Jesus. You don't have to argue with him about who he is. Just tell him you found him. I found him. He's real. We used to sing a song a long time ago. He's real. He's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. I've got the victory. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Your testimony is what he's done for you. How many know what he's done for you? You know you was in bad shape and the Lord saved you. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you probably still wouldn't be here. You already know that. Just tell them. And tell them with authority. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. They can't argue with that. No, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Just make them curious about what's happening with you. You're talking about the Lord so much. People used to do this. Sometimes be a young lady, she done found her a little boyfriend or something, and she's talking about him so good to the girlfriend, then the girlfriend get curious about it. Don't talk to your girlfriend too much. Don't tell her too much. You start talking too good about somebody, somebody else will get curious. And that's the way it is talking about Jesus. You keep talking about him and talking about him and talking about what he is to you. And somebody will get curious. Well, introduce me. I want to know about this Jesus that you're talking about. But if we're going to be those who are witnesses and those who will become engaged and making contact with others for Christ, it's important that we will prepare ourselves to do so. We need to be prepared to make contact with others. Get ourselves ready. Get our lives ready, our hearts ready, get our minds ready, get our spirits ready, get our intercession ready, and be a vessel that Jesus would use. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Do your best. Study to show yourself approved, it says in the King James. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. Put the word of God in you so that the Lord can use that word when the opportunity presents itself. I want to give you quickly five things you should do to be prepared when you reach out to contact others. Number one, you must live the life. In other words, we must practice what we preach because others are watching, especially on your job and in your neighborhood and around your family members and what have you. People will read what you do and how you behave more than what you say. many believers negate their own testimony on their job because they're cut up so bad nobody want to hear what they got to say when they want to talk about the Lord. They done cussed everybody out in the lunchroom. And then they come to church on Sunday and get convicted and want to go share on Monday. Folks don't want to hear you. You done cussed them out the week before. All right, you might have to take a while and let it be demonstrated what change has been made in your life and let them see the difference in you first. All right, so if you're gonna authenticate the message by your life and your lifestyle, that's in an environment where people are around you every day. We always need to live a life that must be honorable before the Lord if we're going to share. But that's different than meeting a stranger. They don't know your life and lifestyle. You can talk to them. But if they watch you long enough. But you know, your family members, that's why it's the hardest people seem to reach are our family members, because they've seen our bad days. You know, and they even knew when we was, before we were saved, how we were. And sometimes they still don't want to recognize that the Lord is working in our lives. That's why it's kind of tough. That's why a prophet has no honor in his hometown. Somebody else will come and share with them and they'll receive. They don't want to receive from you. You just got to keep living the life. Because others are watching. People are watching, especially if you've already held yourself out to be a believer. They're watching. And then it's curious that people who don't go to church, hadn't been to church in years, are living a totally ungodly lifestyle, know how Christians are supposed to act. You ain't supposed to be doing that. You say you were a Christian. How you know? They just know. Secondly, you must love people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. What's the world? He's not talking about the earth, the planet. He's talking about people. God so loved the world, the people of the world, that he gave his only son so that they could be redeemed, they could be saved. God loves people, and even the people that we don't like, he loved them. The people that we don't want to be around, God loves them. The people that get on our nerve, God loves them. The people that are obnoxious and mean, God loves them. And if we don't love people, we're not going to do the work of the Lord, because God is totally in the people business. That's all. That's what he's all about. When he comes, all he's taking back with him are people. He doesn't need stuff. He's people. You must love people. You cannot pretend that you love people and get away with it. People have a sense to know whether you're genuine or not. You know, animals can tell if you love them. So can people. So you got to love people if you're going to share with people.
Thank you for joining us once again, and this is Jerry G. Martin. We certainly hope that this message has been enriching for your life. If you would like to hear it again, you can do so by going to our podcast. You can get this message and other messages that you've heard on this broadcast by going to The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. Again, that's The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. And let me just share with you how you can connect with us on other platforms. If you have Facebook, you can like us at facebook.com/thelow, L-O-W, humble. There you can be informed and engage with us on Facebook. Or you can follow us on Instagram at thelow, humble, T-H-E-L-O-W, humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. We certainly would like to engage with you on all of those platforms. And then we'd love to engage with you in person. Meet us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 16161 Old Humble Road. If you're in Atascocita, Kingwood, Summerwood, Fall Creek, we're in your neighborhood, so we'd love to have you come by. If you're not connected with the church, I encourage you to come to the Light of the World. It's a place where you can believe and a place where you can belong. We know that you're going to hear a message that's going to be a blessing and a benefit to you and will help you in your life. And you will see what God is doing through his divine power at the Light of the World. For those of you who are looking for a Christian bookstore, the Beacon Bookstore is open right here on our campus. We have Sunday school books, Bibles, study supplies, discipleship supplies, envelopes, and communion supplies. We're open Monday through Friday from 10 to 4 p.m. Call us at 281-441-2885. Again, 281-441-2885. Now may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.